All right, great to have you back with us as we get ready for baseball today at Oracle Park. The Giants try to sweep the Phillies. How about that? After a seven-game losing streak, the Giants have won two in a row. Well, we welcome in Bruce Jenkins of the Chronicle. Bruce, good morning. How are things today?
Good. The sun's actually out here. I think we might get up to 76 during the heat wave.
All right. Very good. No fog. Very good.
No,
all right.
No.
I like it. Hey, the Giants win again. You know, as Alex Pavlovich says, they're undefeated in September. And I realize they've dug a tremendous hole for themselves. But it was nice to see the game yesterday, see Gabe Kapler, four pinch hitters in a row. People never saw that before. He really managed yesterday.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's great. You know, he's certainly not letting this thing go. You know, they're technically in it, and it just makes sense to keep the thread of playing hard, you know, keep that going, keep the spirit going. And when you actually do win a couple, maybe you get a little bit of a roll going. And, yeah, that was a really fun game to watch. And, the bullpen, which has been such a central issue to their slide, really came through, you know, whether it's Brebbia striking out Hoskins and Garcia struck out Real Muto, and then Duvall out there with 101 to close it. That was pretty impressive.
Yeah, I was surprised that he took Brebbia out. And he didn't have Garcia in there. Then he ended up with Garcia pitching to Real Muto, and he just blew him away. So the bullpen really did the job yesterday, but there was a lot of backwards things. And I thought about it. I said, look, a lefty can get a righty out. It's not impossible. A righty can get a lefty out, even though Brogdon didn't get his two lefties out. Baseball can be played like that, and I think with the three-batter rule, you have to be able to do it.
Yeah, exactly. When closers first started to come into play, you know, guys like Bruce Sutter and Lee Smith, you know, there was no righty-lefty involved. It was like, this is our guy, and this is what's going to happen. And Duvall is like that a little bit, too. But, and I always felt that way about Affelt and Javier Lopez, when they'd have their best stuff, and they'd come out against a right-hander, and you think, geez, that's kind of a shame. You know, I mean, it tended to work out because they were so deep in the bullpen. But I agree with you. I mean, when a guy's got his good stuff, there's just no reason, why he can't get right-handers out.
No, and we saw it. No, we saw it yesterday, and it was good. Then the other part of yesterday were the balls in the sun, the fly balls to left, and Schwarber had trouble. Jock Peterson and Yastrzemski had trouble. And I said it to Woe this morning. I said, you know, the Willie Mays story, you know, he told Don Mueller, you stay on the right field line, Monty Irvin, you stay on the left field line, and I'll take everything else. And just let the center
almost
field.
Literally, yeah.
And he did. And he did, yeah. And they don't wear the right sunglasses, and they look at each other, and it's really maddening in the big leagues to see it happen.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like it's a big shock. I mean, this is what you're going to get for the day games at Oracle, and, you know, I love it. I love it when parks have little quirks that the opponents have to get used to. But, you know, when the home team is out there fumbling it just as readily as the visitors, it's kind of depressing. You know, that's been an issue all year, whether it's not finding a ball, throwing to the wrong base, et cetera, et cetera. So who knows how the outfield is going to look next year, but that kind of needs to be cleaned up, as they say.
Boy, Aaron Judge in the news just about every day now. Of course, he hit number 52 yesterday, and the Yankees lose again to Tampa Bay, Bruce. And, you know, we're talking about the Yankees, what, a couple of what are they? Four up in the four up, but three in the loss column to Tampa Bay, and they got Frankie Montas pitching for the Yankees today, and Toronto is five back in the loss column. But Aaron Judge is in the news almost every day. Number 52 yesterday, but now he's starting to use the Giants a little bit, I think, as leverage to get the Yankees a little nervous. He's talking about how much he loved the Giants, and it was a dream of his to be part of the Giants. Can the Giants pay this guy $400 million? Would they ever think about doing it?
Yeah, well, first of all, let's make sure he's serious about that and he's not just floating stuff out there. If he's really serious about leaving New York and wanting to play here, you know, the Giants have to come up with the money. If ownership fans on this one, they should just all be fired. You can't fire the owner, but people would want them just, we've seen enough of you now. you know, it's time to spend a lot of money. This is the absolutely perfect guy. If you don't get in that ball game, you're just worthless this winter. So, you know, you'd think the Yanks would have a lock on him and wouldn't let him get away and would make sure that they offer the most money. But, you know, sometimes, you know, a player will take a little bit less for the sake of peace of mind. And New York's getting crazy right now. If they don't win it, you know, Toronto's only six games out, and they can reel off a lot of wins in a row with the best of them. So they could lose it. They could actually not win that division, and it could end really badly. And, you know, the headlines would be horrible, and Judge would think, do I really need this, you know, kind of climate for – I'm just true. Throwing this stuff out here. I mean, it's possible. You know, and Lord knows coming out here to where he's from, playing in San Francisco, you know, the team would automatically be much better. The pitching will probably be really good, and it's feasible. It's going to be if that really comes to that, it's going to be up to ownership to fork out the cash.
Yep. Boy, that'd be interesting if he really considered it.
Honestly.
Well, Scherzer now his side hurts. I said yesterday in the open, I said, boy, the Mets should take care of Washington, no problem. Corbin's lost 17, and they got Scherzer today, and of course, you know what happened. Washington wins 7-1. Corbin gets the win, and Scherzer's side hurts again. Here we go again.
Yeah. Well, this is exactly why when you look at the schedules, they go, oh, wow, boy, you know, so-and-so, they got the easiest schedule coming down. Well, no, they don't. It never works out that way. Never. There's always something comes up. You know, Arizona will come up with a kid named, you know, Corbin Carroll or Vaughn Grissom with the Braves. The Braves are good anyway, but, you know, these downtrodden teams, they try out kids. They have nothing to lose. Weird stuff happens. Don't ever think the schedule is going to decide it. You know, you can look at that ahead of time and think that something's going to happen because it just never works out that way. But, yeah, that's not a good development for the Mets because Scherzer has had an oblique the dreaded oblique in his left side, and he's feeling like some vulnerability in there apparently. Like, I'm going to shut this down right now. That can't happen again. But, of course, it could. The oblique is a really bizarre injury, and when it really bites you, you're going to be out a while. And, you know, just when DeGrom is back and, you know, Mookie Betts is saying this guy might be the best pitcher ever. Who knows, you know? Yeah, but they got to have Scherzer and DeGrom to finish this thing off, let alone the playoffs.
Yeah, you know, the Mets are only two up on Atlanta and two in the loss column. And, of course, Atlanta, you and I have talked about, you know, with Fried and Morton and Strider and, you know, people like that. And they've had Elder pitch yesterday. He went six innings, a two-hit ball. So, yeah, the Met-Atlanta thing is not a done deal, and the Yankee-Tampa Bay thing is not a done deal. Can you imagine New York if they both blow it?
I think the headline guys are already coming up with what they will have there. But, yeah, the Braves, I mean, you know, Austin Riley, all of a sudden, he's leading the bigs in leading the National League in homers. He's homered in four straight games. They just the Braves are just amazing. You know, they had that little crisis with Ozuna, who's already been in some trouble and was arrested on a DUI charge. And they don't need him. You know, they got Acuna and Harris and Rosario and Grissom, and then, you know, Robbie Grossman's in outfield. He's the guy who walked it off yesterday drawing a walk. They can just blow him off like the Giants blew off Melky Cabrera years ago. It's just no loss. Ozuna's a good player, but that's just zero. Get him out of there. No loss whatsoever.
Well, we're going to see the Braves here in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, well, the Giants are going to see a lot of thunder in the next couple of weeks. This time, looking ahead to the schedule, I think you can say it's difficult. I mean, they get the Dodgers after this, and they have a bizarre one game in Milwaukee as they try to patch up that lost series. They had one game in April. Now they're going there for a doubleheader on a Thursday, and then they're in Chicago for the White Sox, and then Atlanta and the Dodgers again. So I mean, the Giants really have they're going to be facing some good teams. Let's put it that way.
Yep, they are. This is going to be interesting. Hey, we mentioned Atlanta. They, you know, I'm looking just at the list of pitchers that they have. They had this Kyle Wright. Have you seen this guy, Bruce?
I think the he's other 17 day he was of, tremendous.
Come on, he can win 20.
Yeah, you know? Phenomenal stuff. Wright and Strider. Yeah, and then who's pitching Game 3?
Really? Yeah, this is what a story. What a story. And Urias wins last night. He may be the best pitcher in the league right now. You know that?
Oh, absolutely. I love that guy. You know, he was so big when they won it all. He was huge in that World Series and didn't get enough play for how he really saved them. You know, he's such a quiet, unassuming guy, but, you know, great left-hander. Machado got him yesterday, but that was it. You know, he was dominant. You know, the Padres once again kind of shrunk to the moment. And yeah, I'll tell you, speaking of the Padres, to me, and they play the Dodgers again today. Until Soto really becomes himself, I don't see them as a big threat. He's hitting like 240 something, 241 since he joined the team, and he was only hitting in the 240s with Washington. You know, he's obviously an incredible player, but he hasn't homered yet. He hasn't had a big RBI game yet. And until he catches fire, you can't take them that seriously.
Yeah, he's very anxious. You could tell at the plate. He's, you know, he's taken a lot of walks, but he does not come up with the big hit. And Sean Manaea, Bruce, when that trade happened in spring training, we said, boy, San Diego, they are just loaded now with Snell and Sean Manaea and Darvish and Musgrove and Mackenzie Gore and all that stuff. Sean Manaea has been a disaster for them.
Yeah, don't let him face the Dodgers if it comes to that in the playoffs. He's faced them three times.
Yeah.
Three times the Dodgers, he's given up 22 earned runs in 12 and two-thirds innings against the Dodgers. They're hitting like .397 against him.
Wow.
And he's absolutely no mystery. His stuff looks like a cakewalk to hitters.
Yep, you're right. I saw that. Yeah, I thought even against the Giants, even though he lasted a little bit longer than he should have, I didn't think there was much there for him.
No.
You know, you brought DeGrom up, and it's been a debate this week on a lot of different shows. Is DeGrom a Hall of Famer? I mean, 34 years old, he's got about 80-some-odd wins in his career, and he's, you know, as Mookie Betts says, he's impossible to hit. Look at his lifetime whip, and the only one that's better than him is Addy Joss.
That goes back a ways.
Come on, 1910, who pitched for the Cleveland Indians and then tragically had some sort of stomach ailment and died. But, you know, DeGrom is in that category. But, Bruce, 81 wins, he's 34 already.
Well, 81 wins isn't enough for 34. Not even close. I mean, only because of injuries. You know, he's it's obviously – I mean, he's had 3 years where he's like under two, including right now his ERA is like 1.19 something. He's been phenomenal really for many years, but he keeps getting hurt. He's had some serious injuries, and I just think he's one of those near miss guys right now. At 34, he's going to have to stay healthy and rack up, you know, I'd say three or four more great seasons with his great stuff, and then you start to think about it. Right now, he's not in the picture.
Yeah, well, okay, it's been debated quite a bit because, you know, everyone looks at his analytics and his numbers, and, you know, this is a new world now. You don't need 300 wins, but I think you need 100, I would think.
Yeah, I mean, come on, yeah.
Come on, I mean, at least 100. Well, did you see Dylan Cease last night? He came close to a no-hitter for the White Sox.
Yeah, it was so funny. He's one out away, and he's up against Luis Arraez, who's a wonderful hitter. If you look at your Sunday leaders, which I know we both like to do, he's no longer leading the bigs, but he's still hitting well over 300. And I'm sure he wanted that pitch back. It was a tailing fastball right into the wheelhouse. And, of course, Arraez, you know, singled sharply, and that was that. But the White Sox are having a bit of a revival. You know, they were a little stunned by Tony La Russa going out for whatever's ailing him, and the players seem to, you know, genuinely concerned about that, but I don't know about the fans. But some of the fans probably said, you know, maybe let's try it without Tony for a while. But in any case, they're making a little bit of a run, and that's going to be that is and it has been and will be a great race. But Cease is he's a little bit like Strider. You know, they both look like L.A. cops for one thing, and his stuff is just phenomenal.
Yeah, two out in the ninth inning, and the last White Sox pitcher to go 8 2/3 and gave up a hit. Was Ken Brett? Remember him?
Kemmer Brett. Yeah, the great Kemmer Brett, George's brother, and one of the best hitting pitchers ever.
Yep, he gave up a hit 8 2/3, and he gave up a hit. That was the last White Sox to go that far. Mm-hmm. And I mentioned the whoa. I love the exploding scoreboard. Every time I see it, you know, they win a game, the fireworks go off. This goes back to Bill Veeck. They hit a home run, the scoreboard explodes. I like that.
Oh, yeah. Well, Bill Veeck, I mean, geez, you'd think it was the 4th of July, you know, every night. But, yeah, it is good. You know, they're trying hard to keep the spirit going. And, you know, that park's never going to be a ghost town. It's just too nice of a place to just drop in. And I know they're concerned about the attendance and what the future of the team looks like. But they're sprucing things up, but not in an obnoxious way. I mean, hell, the Dodgers, you know, are 900 games over 500. You go there, you can't even hear yourself think just from garbage. You know, they're just throwing out stuff over the sound system that's just preposterous. But, yeah, I like what the Giants are doing.
Yeah, I love it, the Sox. And they do that, the exploding scoreboard. All right, Bruce, one historical note today, a really good one, and I can't believe it. It's one of the great moments, I think, in baseball history. Jim Abbott, who, you know, has the one hand on, you know, the left hand and the right hand is not fully developed at all, pitches a no-hitter. A no-hitter on Labor Day. I remember that.
Yeah, I remember that well. This is a guy who was born without a right hand, just simply. His arm ended right where the wrist is supposed to be. So he grows up. He goes, Dad, I'm going to be a ball player. You know, and then his parents were so great. They're thinking, well, this is not going to happen, but let's let him try. And his dad was really helpful trying to figure out how to do this. You know, you're throwing with your left hand, but now maybe here comes a ball right back at you. You've got to get your glove on that on your good hand, and he's got the glove perched on the stump of his right arm, and he perfected that technique so well that there were times where you didn't even notice that he didn't have a hand. It was so smooth. You know, he'd catch the ball, he'd cradle the glove against his chest and take the ball out with his left hand, and now he's throwing the ball.
Unbelievable.
Just amazing. And, you know, he was a great pitcher at Michigan. He played quarterback in high school. He's starting to really, you know, he's unquestionably, you know, arriving. And he didn't even play in the minors. The Angels signed him right out of Michigan. And he had an 18-win season. And then this is the anniversary of his no-hitter, which he was with the Yankees by that time. But, oh, my God, I was looking up the lineup he faced when Jim Abbott no-hit Cleveland for the Yankees in 1993. Kenny Lofton, Carlos Baerga, Albert Bell, Manny Ramirez, and Jim Thome. I mean,
wow.
Geez.
Wow.
That's like, yeah. I mean, what a thing. So, I mean, it's a really great story. I mean, I don't know. He was out of baseball by 29. He lost a little bit of stuff. When he got to the Yankees, Steinbrenner didn't have the patience of, you know, Jim's dad or anybody with a heart. And that kind of went sour, but I'm sure the memories are all good for Jim because he was just one of the great stories, and he made a lot of people feel good.
Fabulous story. If you don't know Jim Abbott, go to YouTube, look up Jim Abbott, and you'll be amazed at what he accomplished. Boy, good story, Bruce. Hey, thanks so much. Talk to you tomorrow, Labor Day. We're back on tomorrow, so look forward to it.
Okay, thanks, Marty.
All right, thank you. All right, Bruce Jenkins. All right, more coming up. You're going to enjoy this next guest. It is David Moranis. He's a two-time Pulitzer Prize winner. His book is Path Lit by Lightning, The Life of Jim Thorpe. Where do you hear this story? More coming up on the Sports Leader.